¡Órale!
Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, week two of the playoffs, and my primos are in the house. Nico Gutierrez, Hector
What's
Reyes.
up? Ho,
¿Cómo
yeah, baby.
estamos?
Lounging, ready to go, ready for the weekend. Saturday football coming up. Exciting stuff. Good
Smells
stuff.
like playoffs.
Isn't that going to be great? We got Thursday, and then we got prime time Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it's going to be on. It's
Let's
going to be
go.
on. Prime time games. A lot of good matchups. Oh, we're gonna talk about some of them. But everybody, thank you for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our original content at familiaffp.com, as well as our Twitter and Instagram at familiaffp, as well as our and like us on Facebook. Again, it's the playoffs, and Primo Nico is on, and we had to get him on because he's the only one alive in our Familiology League. So, Nico.
Staying alive, staying alive. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, so it's like you're set. Yeah. How are you feeling going into round two? You blew out Ricky in the last one, so you blew him out so bad that he couldn't make it tonight. So he's still
He's still
no,
upset with me.
he's actually working. He picked up a late shift at the hospital, last minute shift, because they're so busy. So, malafortunadamente. So, thinking good thoughts for you, Ricky. We'll have you on tomorrow. But yeah, Nico, you big win. Thanks to your running backs going for 80, a couple of 80-yard runs. What's it feel like? How you feeling going
Oh, it
into the
feels
second
good. I mean,
round?
it's one of those things where I come in as the underdog, pretty much every time. And then I had to play first place. And then the next week, I had to play first place. And then the playoffs, I had to play the old first place. And again, right now, I got to play first place. So it's just like, Jesus,
You're
do I get a break? But
the
you know
Cinderella
what?
team, man. You're the Cinderella team.
Yeah, that's a better story to tell around Christmas time. Like, hey, yeah, I was David and the Goliaths came in and I slayed them every time.
Well,
Yeah.
you've got a team that's got this. You've been riding the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs stack all season long. I mean, you were one of the believers in Stephon Diggs. That's fantastic. But now all of a sudden, you got Miles Sanders and David Montgomery, who were just largely been forgotten, and now all of a sudden, look at them. Look at what they've been doing.
Yeah, they were the ones where it was like, do I even? They were talking about in the morning Sunday, fantasy channels, like, oh, maybe I sit him. And I'm like, geez, what, it's kind of like you just have to have faith. This is the thing about fantasy. It's luck and skill. That's what makes it
Gut
exciting.
feeling,
Like, you
man.
don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and you never know when a guy's going to pop off an 82-yard run. So you never know
Right.
on that one. TJ Hawkinson, even though he doesn't know who his quarterback is, he's got Tennessee, and they've been very generous to the tight end. And
Tennessee.
you got Allen Robinson. Oh, but your true MVP, Nico. Cuckoo, ka-choo!
That's right.
Young
Yeah, I
Ho.
mean, it's just Young Ho Koo, which I don't think you can say on a rated PG-13 channel, but that's okay.
Young,
21
is it Young Wei? Young Wei Ku? Is that the
points.
pronunciation? Young Ho Koo, yeah. So, but no, he's 21 points 1 week. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Jeez.
That's great.
I mean, looking
Hey,
on
he
the other
gets him. Yeah.
Looking on the other side, Primo Jose, he's one of our many LAPD officers out there fighting the good fight. Pégale, Primo, pégale. But again, he's got Aaron Rodgers and Tyreek Hill, so that's going to be a formidable duo. And then you got Calvin Ridley and Dalvin Cook, so definitely a top-heavy team for him. I mean, just it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Can't
It's
wait.
Yeah, you gotta
Fantasy
love it.
playoffs. Fantasy playoffs is always fun. Right around the holidays every year. It's so good.
So Nico, next week at this time, we expect you to still, you give us a full report on what happened. So.
Yeah, I was sitting there, I woke up, I had a Bloody Mary, I was biting my nails, and then I had another beer. Oh, and then there's a football game, so I'll let you guys know, play by play. It'll be
There you
very
go. There you go.
Here's the interesting part is, so you've got the Pittsburgh defense, and Primo Jose is very much a dyed-in-the-wool Steelers fan.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's
– Oh, and you got Claypool too. That's – ooh, that's going to be fun.
He's got to root against his – he's got to root against his team. That's what makes fantasy interesting is when you got guys that – if fantasy sometimes forces you to root against your against the home team, man. So it's kind of weird sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes you just – you know, I picked up Pittsburgh defense – and a couple of weeks, I got a second defense to play, and I should have played Pittsburgh. And to tell you the truth, I should have just played them every week all season, and that's what I did. I don't have a backup defense because I knew they were going to carry me all the way through, and I think they are going to. So we'll see.
Oh, they've been studs all year. You just play them. Just play them all season. Mm-hmm. You know, enjoy. Well, Primo, buena suerte, and let's get some buena suerte on our locks of the week, our betting locks of the week. This is the segment that that really features Nico and Hector. But Primo Nico, you being the oldest one, start us up.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do it on a lot of stats and everything else, but, you know, it's all over the map. So I think I'm going to go with the prettiest helmets type of, you know, look.
pick the gray horse.
Exactly.
Pick the gray horse.
They got a kitty on their helmet. I like that one. We're going to pick them. So. No, but first game I got Buffalo. It was 6.5 minus, and now it's -6, but I'm still going to leave it at 6.5. I think Buffalo's going to take Denver. I mean, Denver was one of those things like, oh, they're going to be the Jets all season type of thing. But Denver's good. You know, you don't know who's going to show up. But Buffalo, I mean, I think a team like this where they're excited and they're there, that, you know, they're really going to come through. And, you know, Josh is just, he's throwing these dimes like crazy. And he's just, you know, I love him. I knew he'd be good at the beginning of the season. And I'm just very, very happy with him. And I think Buffalo's going to do it.
Yeah, I think Buffalo wins by a touchdown here. I'm just curious because I'm sure one of many people that were surprised that Drew Lock threw 4 touchdowns last weekend. So I don't know where that came from, but yeah, I think that was kind of sort of a fluke because he's been up and down, peaks and valleys all season long. You just never know which Drew Lock's going to show up. So I like this pick, Buffalo with 6.5. I like that.
So yeah. Now I'm gonna have the other side of that on my bets because I've got Denver +6.5 because of my system. So
it's a system bet.
The system bet. The idea is, I mean, maybe Vic Fangio comes up with a defensive system that defensive game plan that throws off Buffalo, but I'm not feeling very confident about that one. I mean, and you always hope that playing at the Mile High in Denver that all of a sudden the Bills get a little winded and maybe that takes something out of them. So
it could happen.
Well, you guys,
the condition that your system is in, right?
So, oh yeah. You two agree on the next one. So you guys chop it up on this one.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, Atlanta. I think we're going to get into it a little bit later with Julio Jones. Didn't practice. And you know, he made this, you know, sit out this game. I think Atlanta season's done. Tampa Bay is not. They're, you know, Tom Brady, as long as Tom Brady is playing, they're trying to win. They're trying to outscore you. They're trying to kill you. And I think Atlanta is just, they haven't really looked very impressive as of late. So Tampa Bay -6. I like that a lot and easily at least by a touchdown, possibly more there.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why my kicker is doing so well is Atlanta gets down to the red zone and they just can't put it in, you know, where Brady can. Yep, yep. And so instead of getting 7s, you get a bunch of 3s and that adds up. So I think Tampa Bay is going to come in and just kind of take it over. And their defense, you know, they're kind of like, who's going to show up, but they've been pretty consistent lately.
Instead of 7s, you get 3s. Is that, are you talking about Vegas again? You know, when you're at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're looking around. I'm just kidding. It's dinner time.
Exactly. It's dinner time in Vegas. 3 a.m.
I've got Atlanta on the other side. So they've got more than four victories difference between them and Tampa
Bay. The system bet. Let's go.
Yeah, and the one thing is that Tampa Bay has been very generous to they're actually number 32 in fantasy points per game allowed to the wide receivers right now. So it could be that Atlanta, it's going to be a lot of Matteo Yello to Calvin Ridley and maybe some Russell Gage. So, you know, we'll see. It's in Atlanta, so you don't have to worry about any weather.
No weather.
The dome. And also not worrying about the weather in Miami. You guys both have Miami.
Yes.
Yeah, Nico, I don't like the Patriots as of late. I mean, I think they benched Cam Newton last game, right? They put in the backup there. So Miami, I like them. I've been watching them lately. Tua's looking confident back there every game. It seems like he's becoming more and more confident. Hopefully Gesicki's back and healthy, but I like Miami. Their defense may be the reason that they cover here. Their defense has just been quietly just mauling teams as of late. So Miami minus two, that's an easy one. I think Tua has a good game. I think New England has a very tough time against Miami's defense, and they cover minus two easily.
Go ahead, Nico.
No, I was just gonna say they've been kind of playing really good ball, and they played great ball against KC, but KC was a great team for them to play. It's kind of like a batter warming up. He swings a heavy bat, so that way he gets
right.
Lighter bat.
Totally. And they played well. They had a couple picks against Patrick Mahomes, so I imagine what they're going to be doing against Mr. Cam Newton. So we shall see.
Yeah, it's like interception. What's your flexion?
It's conjunction.
Yeah, that
was. There's been a schoolyard rock reference, ladies and gentlemen.
I love that. Oh, let's get the verb.
That's right.
I'm just a bill that'll never get passed because the Congress won't push it off and the Senate won't do it.
it was something like that.
Nico, your next one.
All right, so we are going to go over to KC.
Shocking that Nico is picking the Niners. Shocking. I never saw that coming.
No, I think are we doing Niners or KC? Which one?
First KC.
Oh, first KC. Sorry. I was jumping the Niners. My bad.
No. If I do the Niners, I'll do a drum roll. So just wait for that. No, so KC, I mean, they are who they are. They are who we thought they were, that type of thing. And New Orleans is still, they're the kind of darlings of the ball. But I think when it comes down to it, KC's going to start to sit there and get really into that mold where they want to be playoff players like I think they did. And their defense is finally going to wake up. And I think New Orleans is, New Orleans is playing well and they got a great defense. This is going to be a great, great game. But I think KC at the end ends up winning by maybe 5-7.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I concur.
This is going to be – that one's going to be just a hell of a fight. I think that's going to be the best game of the week.
Is Drees back? And Drew Brees coming back? Is he ready for this game?
Let's save that one for Cheeseman.
Ah, that's coming for Cheeseman. Cheeseman. Yeah. All right, now the Niner game, Nico. Tell us about your Niner pick.
Exactly. So now we have the 49ers men that are going to be playing Dallas Cowboys. Boys. So it's going to be, the Niners are a good team. People forget about that. And even though, they go down to the water boy backup, practice squad, and they'll bring in a running back, he'll still do well. So I think the Niners are going to come in, play very well. They've got a lot of pride. And I think Dallas has just got a lot of ego. So pride over ego every time. So I figured Niners are going to come in, and I wouldn't doubt there'd be double-digit wins. So that's what I said.
I mean, the Niners do have the better defense, a far better defense. Even as injured as they are, they've been playing much better. And Dallas is, I don't like Zeke lately. I could see that one happening. It's just, it's hard to, for the 49ers with Nick Mullins to expect that they're going to cover on the road. But I can't imagine them not happening with that, the differences between the two defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of defenses, Hector, you got a couple of picks that Nico, that don't involve Nico, but start us off. This one was, I almost fell on the floor when you said this one.
New York Jets. Well, first of all, the Rams were favored by 17.5 over the Jets. I don't know, man. I just got a gut feeling that says the Jets are going to do something. I mean, they played against the Raiders a couple weeks back, and that running back Ty Johnson just he impressed me, man. I watched the play. It was the Jets lost that game 31-28. Yeah, and yes, last week they got beat out by Seattle 40-3. But I'm just looking at that Raider game 31-28, and I don't know. Even though the Rams do have a great run defense, I don't know. I just, something tells me that that Ty Johnson's going to get loose in this game and have a good game. And I think the Rams win by 17. You know, don't get me wrong. I think the Rams, you know, dominate here and they win by 17 at least, or at most. I think the Jets hang in there plus 17 and a half. I like the Jets.
You could say this is going to be interesting. The Jets have still been playing pretty good defense against the run and the Rams. So it's going to come down if the Rams can establish the run. And it could be one of those things where even if they get off to like a, you know, 20, 21 point lead, then all of a sudden the Rams can take their foot off the pedal, put the subs in. And then all of a sudden the Jets get a late touchdown and cover. So,
right. It's garbage time. So there's always garbage time, man. You know, that's what you got to worry about, especially now late in the season. You know, what's the Rams record? They're shooting for a playoff spot. Are they in? They guaranteed to get a spot. Where are they at?
I think if they win this game, they clinch the division. They won't clinch it. No, I think if they win this game, no, they won't clinch the division. Because right now they're tied with Seattle, but they have the tiebreaker on Seattle.
Right. But, I mean, all they need to do is win. You know, the Rams are not, you know, they don't care about the spread. You know, in a game like this, they don't, you know, sometimes we've talked about before, sometimes teams care about the spread, you know, don't bet against me, you know, that kind of thing. This game, the Rams don't give a crap. So, you know, when they win by 10, they win by 14, they win by 17, they're completely happy. If they're up by 24 and the Rams DBs, you know, take a break, you know, check their email on their phone while the Jets go and score, they're not going to care. So if that happens in garbage time, you know, the Rams up by 24 and then the Jets have a late score and you know, lose by only 17, I see something like that happening. I think that toward the end of the game, the Rams aren't going to care. And yeah, like you said, it's garbage time and the Jets could maybe scramble up 7 to 10 points late, just in complete utter garbage time, and make this game closer than the spread.
Yeah. I think the Rams get a lot of sacks, because at the end, Jets are going to keep trying to catch up and the Rams are just going to blow through and probably get 6 sacks, you know, this whole game. So I think it's just going to be, but the Jets do have pretty helmets. So, you know, like I said, you got to judge by this.
It's like that green. It's like that Christmas green, like that. Exactly. Has like that. That's, you know. So yeah, that says something. That says holiday cheer, man. If anything.
Aaron Donald's gonna be holiday cheering all over Sam Darnold's head. So
right.
I wouldn't count on that.
But you put the red over all that green, you know, that's Christmas right there, right?
Well, yeah. How about your last pick? Because we already talked about your other two.
Oh yeah, so I like Cleveland minus 4.5 against the Giants. Daniel Jones came up questionable today, questionable tag, and yeah, Cleveland almost pulled it off last game, and so I look for Cleveland's offense. They seem to be clicking. I like them. You know, that was a barn burner, just slugfest against the Ravens last game. So the Giants defense is pretty good, but their offense is definitely not the Ravens offense. And I see the Cleveland getting the ball, having a little more time of possession, having a little more opportunity to do damage, having the ball on offense. So I think they're going to do that. And minus 4.5, I see the Browns winning by at least a touchdown here.
Yeah, they talked about how Baker Mayfield is playing like his college days, you know, going around.
He's looking good.
He knew he was going to sit there and hit somebody, right? Like, oh, he'll find somebody. And sure enough, he did.
He's been as hot as anybody. He's been the hottest that he's been in the
four TDs in the first half a couple weeks back. So,
yeah,
even though the Giants defense has been pretty good, I just think that this is the game that Cleveland just plays well top to bottom, beginning to end. And yeah, they cover here for sure.
Yeah. And then Baker, I mean, he's so confident now. I think he's going to move out of the stadium and actually get his own house. So
that's definite, you know, good for him. Congratulations to Baker.
I like the front yard, but you need to get your own house. And that's my
You know, when I look at that one, I've got the other side of that ticket. So I've got the Giants plus 4.5. It's hoping that the Giants defense can actually muck it up enough for Baker Mayfield. But I don't know if they could score enough, especially if Daniel Jones is sitting and Colt McCoy is the guy. So, right. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's it for Hector. My last pick is, don't laugh, Primos, but Cincinnati plus 12 against Pittsburgh.
I'm not laughing. Pittsburgh looked completely off base and discombobulated last game. Big Ben looked kind of tired and confused at times and just kind of looked out of it, you know? And I think, I don't know if you saw, I think it was yesterday maybe or today, that there's some article where he's talking about retiring, you know, just things that he's never brought up before. So I don't know. Big Ben's kind of in a different kind of place right now. So yeah, I don't have any problem with Cincinnati plus 12 here. They can hit that. Yeah, definitely.
It's gonna be interesting because Cincinnati has been playing a little. I was looking, and we'll talk about that one later, but at another time. But their defense has been playing a little bit better the last 4 weeks. So you know, and yeah, the Steelers just look so they can't run the ball. Their receivers are dropping passes. I still think that this is going to be a get right game for them, but maybe they still only score, you know, 20 to 10 or something like that. So I don't like the Cincinnati offense.
Big Ben hasn't been in practice. He's been out only coming in on Fridays, you know, for the last 2 weeks. So I think a full week, you know, captain coming in there, you know, practicing for you know, I think Pittsburgh is going to come in and blow them out, but that's, you know, since we're doing complete opposites here, that's, you know, I love it. So
boom.
Thank you.
All right. So, well, let's get into some cheese man. And Hector, you were asking about Drew Brees, and
yes,
he has been designated to return from the IR. So that means he's back at practice. He's been cleared to return to practice after those lung and rib injuries. It's still a big question mark if he's going to play this week. So we don't know if that's I would say that it's still going to be Taysom Hill this week, but if Drew Brees really pushes to play, that's going to be a very interesting game. That game's going to be even better. Mm-hmm. So and you know, looking at, I mean, would that change either your guy Nicole, would that change your bet if Drew Brees is playing?
No, because I think anyone who's had – I just had bruised ribs, and you're going to go out there and get hit. He's not going to throw it right, and he's just getting back. It's like, you know, the guy probably couldn't even breathe. And I think the setup they have right now – I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, they're winning. And so I wouldn't put Breeze in there. I would just keep him on the sideline.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I've had a cracked rib before, and football, not playing football, a crack rib hurts, or a rib injury hurts. Not even playing football, I can't even imagine having a rib injury and going back in to play an NFL football game. Like, no way, man. I don't see. I doubt he plays. Even though he's been cleared, I doubt he plays.
Está loco ese. Yeah, I don't think he plays. So we got a little COVID news. Ronald Jones for Tampa Bay and Marquise Hollywood Brown for the Ravens, plus another one of his I think it was Boykin, were both put on the COVID IR list for their respective teams. Now, there's no word as to whether they tested positive or if they were close contact. Because they were put on today, if they are cleared, they can play this weekend. So something we'll be following for these next few days.
Yikes.
Yeah, especially after Hollywood Brown caught that long touchdown on the miracle play from Lamar Jackson. So
bummer.
So
total bummer. You got to feel bad for cousin Manny this week. He's got Ronald Jones on his team going into fantasy playoffs this weekend, and he's got Lamar Jackson, who, of course, his target is one of his main targets is Marquise Brown. So he's losing out in two big ways this weekend. So sorry, Manny. Feeling bad for you today, bro.
Lamar Jackson's gonna have to just do it by himself. So we'll just see that.
Well, yeah, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. If now he's got to run more and.
Jackson back. He tosses it 60 yards to himself. Touchdown. Oh, this is fantastic.
That'd be the dream. Exactly. Right? 6.6 plus 6, and it's the one guy. So that'd be awesome.
I imagine. Well, can that even happen?
I think if somebody bets,
deflects it.
If it's a batted ball. You pass it. It's a batted ball. He catches it, runs it in for a touchdown. That's a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
That'd be a 12-point play plus the yardage. So, and it'd be that he'd get the passing yardage and the receiving yardage. So,
So has that ever happened before? We gotta research that.
I've seen quarterbacks
just a triple play, you know, of football.
I've seen quarterbacks do that where they catch their own deflected pass, but
and then never run it for a couple yards.
Never run it in for a touchdown. I've never seen it run in for a touchdown.
Yeah, but I mean, just on a regular play like that, you have a quarterback that passes for like 2 yards. It's batted down by like a defenseman. He catches it, runs for like 7 yards. So that's, he gets all those points.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, double points.
That's kind of neat. I mean,
if anybody can do it, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. The way he's been playing lately, he's just been ridiculous. So,
you know what? If we give it a name right now, they can say, when did they first call it that? Like, well,
double spoony.
Double spoony.
Triple spoony.
There you go.
That's a double spoony.
You're
first.
We don't know if Julio Jones is going to be spooning in any, you know, on a football field anytime soon, because the coach Raheem Morris mentioned that it's looking like Julio Jones is week to week, which to me is saying he's not playing. And really, why play him? What's the reason to play him? You know, your season's done. You're not playing for the playoffs. Why risk when you've got Julio signed to so many years ahead of that?
And you got Ridley, you got Gage that you want to, you know, give them some extra reps, you know, play it that way. Kind of like practice, you know, get them some
at the schoolyard. It's all good. You know, it's good.
Right. Yeah. Julio down by the schoolyard, right?
And from Julio, we're going to go to Julian Edelman. You know, he's returned doing the Lazarus thing. He's returned from IR. So he's now in that 21-day window to play, you know, for IR players. Do you guys think that he can make any kind of difference for Cam Newton?
Depends on how healthy he is. I mean, how healthy is he really? He's been designated to return. But, I mean, if he's healthy, Edelman's great. When he's, you know, if he can make those cuts and do his thing, Edelman is definitely, you know, he was a top receiver. He was a top target when he's been healthy. So, you know, yeah, if he's going to come back and be healthy and be able to, you know, make those same moves and do everything exactly the way that Julian Edelman can, sure, that's a huge boost for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey used to be like kind of his outlet, and those two just ham and egged it. So I think if you bring that back, it'll kind of give him the feel of what he used to have when he had McCaffrey back at the Panthers. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's definitely a good call. Definitely a good call on there. And well, Nico, the next one, the 49ers designated George Kittle. So it's Niners news to return from injured reserve. I still think it's 50-50 whether he plays.
Yeah, he's such a big part of them, and I don't see him leaving anytime soon. So, you know, why jack him up? I mean, you know, I picture maybe him with the brace, like, you know, Forrest Gump, or maybe he's running down the middle and it all falls apart and he gets a touchdown, like, yeah, run, Kittle, run. But, you know, I don't think that.
Well, just Nico, to kind of expound on what you said, he signed a big contract extension during the offseason. So he's not going anywhere. And that's why you kind of protect your investment right there. I mean, you've got an all-pro tight end right there. When, you know, after Kelce, he's the best tight end in the game. And unless you're playing for a playoff spot, and if they don't win this week, I don't see them playing for the playoffs. You know, granted, they need to be Dallas. I think even beating Dallas, I think it's kind of 50-50, you know, I don't even think it's even 50-50 that they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think they do too, but you know, they play for pride, you know, you got to play for the home team there in Arizona, you know, and,
yeah,
no, I just think it'll be a good year. And then we get everybody back next year. I say we, cause I live in the Bay Area for those listeners that don't know that. And yeah, I mean, it's just, they're a fun team to watch, and they've got a bunch of players that get very excited and fire up everybody. It's kind of like, you know, what they used to have back in the Giants. So, you know, we'll see. He's fun to watch. Him and Debo, you know, yards after catch are just amazing.
Yep,
so,
yep.
And Ayuk now all of a sudden, yeah. Ayuk is just, you know, he's become a stud. So
right out of nowhere. Yeah.
If they do that, and the way Shanahan just finds a running game anywhere, they're going to be, you know, I don't want to look ahead because we're in the fantasy playoffs, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking ahead to 2021. And I think I think that San Francisco offense is going to have some underrated players other than Kittle.
They give them something when these rookies and people come in, you don't know who they are. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, who's this kid? You know? They take him down to Silicon Valley. They put the chip in him, and they come back, and then they're ready to go. Yeah, so these guys.
Well, last bit of cheese, Daniel Jones. It looks like we talked about him a little bit ago. He's doubtful for this week against the Browns. You could tell that he wasn't running. He looked limited. You just want to make sure he gets healthy and before you put him back on the field, even if you are playing for the playoffs. And the Browns are going to be a tough matchup. So, I mean, maybe they're a little banged up in the secondary, but we'll see. We'll see. Vamos a ver si if he's gonna it, you know, if Colt McCoy can do it, and then all of a sudden Daniel Jones comes back in week 16 if he's available. All right, well, let's get into some previews. So
All right.
This one's too bad Ricky can't do this one. You got the Chargers at 4-9 at the Las Vegas Raiders 7-6 on Thursday Night Football. The Raiders are 3-point favorites and a 53.5-point over under. And I look at this game and I've got Justin Herbert on one of my leagues and I'm just salivating. You know, he's coming off of a decent game. The Raiders are number 20 again in the last four. So all these numbers that we give, the defensive ratings are going to be for the last 4 weeks. Thanks to our friends at lineups.com. And Justin Herbert, you know, going up against the 20th ranked against quarterbacks in fantasy points per game. I think he's looking good. The one that's really exciting is Austin Eckler. Two of his three games since he came back he's been good. The Raiders are number 31 against running back, giving up running back points. They're great. A couple of question marks with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Williams is a little bit more questionable. He had the back injury that knocked him out of most of the game last week. Keenan Allen, he's a little bit banged up, but he's got 10 straight targets in 10 plus 10 or more targets in the last four games. And
yeah, he'll be fine. I mean, yeah, at the end of last game, he's had a couple plays. I guess he got like some kind of a little bit of a hammy issue. And then at the end, he went back in, which was a very good sign for Keenan Allen owners out there that it wasn't anything that was kind of a major issue. Cause he did come out cause I had Keenan Allen and I was like, where is he? You know, and even the announcer was like, wow, where's Keenan Allen? He's on the sideline. And you know, toward the end of the game, he went back in and he ran a couple plays. So that was good to see, reassuring to know that whatever that was is not that big of a deal, that he was able to actually go back in and run a couple more plays. So
and on the Raiders side, Derek Carr, the Chargers are kind of middle of the road against quarterbacks and wide receivers. So and Carr's got two straight games at 300 plus points at 53.5. I'm banging the over on this game. I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think there's going to be a lot of passing scored. It's a short week on these teams for these teams. I think it's just going to be it's going to be different
slugfest.
It's going to be, you know, I'm intrigued by the matchup between the Chargers, our number two against the tight ends. So does that kind of nullify Darren Waller, or have they just not seen someone as good as Darren Waller? And the one that Waller's a baller. The one that I'm looking at is possibly doing some damage is Nelson Aguilar, because he had 100 yards and he's got 35 targets in his last four games. You got the Chargers, who were number 21 against fantasy wide receivers in the last 4 weeks. It's this one's a distinct possibility to, you know, for Aguilar to have a big game because of the fact that Henry Ruggs is out with COVID. So so we don't know if he tested positive, but he is officially out for this game because he can't get the negative test in time to be activated for the game. So I, you know, heavy funnel for the Raiders.
Gotcha. So I'm confused though. So is it the Oakland Raiders against the San Diego Chargers? Or no? It's the LA Raiders. Oh no, it's the LA Chargers and the Vegas Raiders, right? I'm trying to catch up. You know, if I was on an island, I'd come back and say, "What? I don't understand." So.
Exactly. Los Angeles, Las Vegas.
They said teams. They said there would be no Espanol in this one. So, heck, how about so we talked about it. We got Saturday ball this week, and you want to take us to Denver?
Woo-woo. Let's go to Denver, baby. Buffalo 10-3. Say it again.
I was going to say we already talked a little bit about this game, but
we did. No, yeah, exactly. We covered it a little bit in our bets. We talked about the man Josh Allen, Nico stacking Allen and Stephon Diggs, who had just a beast of a game. game last week at 130 yards at one score. He's had at least 9 targets every game since week 7. That's not not surprising at all. He is the he's the right-hand man to Josh Allen, so you expect more of that. Cole Beasley has just been – he's been quietly just been super Mr. just, you know, consistency. Cole Beasley is always there. He's always getting yards, getting catches. From a fantasy standpoint, he's put up some pretty solid numbers these last few weeks, and he's had 10-plus targets in 3 of the last 4 games. So look for Cole Beasley to do his thing. And you know, Josh Allen just has some really great weapons. Of course, he's got Singletary there. He's got Zach Moss. Even though they haven't done too much there, just knowing that they're there, it has defenses kind of a little bit on edge because of the fact that he's also the third running back. You got Josh Allen there who can also do damage with his legs. So that's what you got on the Buffalo side. You're starting Allen. You're starting Diggs. You're starting Beasley. Singletary and Moss, you know, that may be a coin toss. You know, if you're worried about that, I don't know if I'm starting either of those guys unless they've you know taken you to the dance. Then you may have to go that route with Singletary.
They haven't. If you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs in spite of those guys, not because
exactly.
Of them.
That's so, what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yeah. Siéntate, Singletary. Siéntate, Moss.
Exactly. The main runner on that team is Josh Allen, and he's gonna ride you. He's gonna ride you to the sunset, Nico. If
that's right, UPIA.
If that's the way that it rolls. Denver side, like I said before, Drew Lock threw for 4 TDs last game, which is bananas. Melvin Gordon, Buffalo's defense against the running backs is their number 13. So look for Melvin Gordon to do some damage there against Buffalo's defense. And as far as offensive weapons for Denver, you got Tim Patrick. 3 TDs in the last 2 games. Watch out for him. He's kind of Drew Lock's main target. You got Noah Fant. He was sick last game, so we'll see what happens with him. Jerry Jeudy, you know, Alabama product. He's, you know, 8 targets week 11. But the last game, you know, 2 catches, 42 yards. Not much. Not much going on there from Jeudy. So look for Baltimore. Look for Buffalo Bills to gobble up the Broncos here. I don't see much competition here. So yeah, Buffalo just kills them. But yeah, it should be a good game to watch. I'd like to see. I haven't watched much of Tim Patrick, but I want to see how things look with him between Locke and Patrick. And I always like watching Melvin Gordon play. I've had him on my teams last couple of years, so I always like watching him play.
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder and he's questionable, but I think he's going to play.
Yeah,
and Nico, you've got a healthy glow because of the Allen to Diggs stack, so you want to spew any on those?
I think you know it's a matter of what he does. I mean, Beasley's like his, you know, Diggs is great, but Beasley's like when he gets freaked out, he throws it to him because he's right down the middle. Yep. So he always catches the ball, and I think Moss is going to turn into a passing running back. And with Denver defense, they come in really quick, and that's what you got to learn. If he can hit those two, then they'll just tear him up because then that frees up Diggs, and then Diggs goes 80 yards for a few.
Yeah. I don't know if I could add much more to this one. I have a feeling that Denver kind of shot their wad against Carolina last week.
Right. Exactly.
Stepping up in weight class. I mean, I do have them as covering this game, but I mean, the only way they could do that is if they can make it ugly. I mean, Vic Fangio is a really good defensive mind. Apparently a couple of his DBs are injured, which you don't want that with Josh Allen coming to the house. So
no.
Well, I'm gonna Saturday night. Saturday night's all right for the Packers to take on the Carolina 4-9 Carolina Panthers, and the Packers are 10-3. So this game's gonna be a Lambeau Field, and it's gonna be cold. And I'm gonna look up the weather right now while I'm talking. But I mean, this game is gonna be just it's just going to be embarrassment of
yes. I was going to say that Carolina's in trouble. I mean, if you're talking about teams that have just been on fire as of late, Green Bay Packers is up there in the conversation. I mean, Devontae Adams, 8 straight, like what? Wait, what? 8 straight games for the touchdown. Come on. I mean, that's just crazy. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he went for 290, 3 TDs last game. I mean, the spread is what? 8.5. I mean, I think that's probably about right. That's probably where the sweet spot is. I think Green Bay probably covers. That's not one of my locks, but I think Green Bay probably covers here. Carolina, their defense has been playing solidly of late, but they have a lot of youth on that defense. And I think a wily mind like Aaron Rodgers just knows how to carve up, you know, young DBs and young defenses. So I see Green Bay just going bananas here, just kicking their rears. What do you say, George?
Well, when you look at the fact, well, number one, the weather, it's going to be in the 30s, but no snow. So this is going to be just prime time. Aaron Rodgers loves to play in these kind of games.
And a lot of other teams do, but he does. So that yep. makes it worse, even worse for other teams. He's comfy cozy in this weather.
And Nico, you've had Aaron Rodgers a few times in these kind of games, and that's where he's like, he could go for 400 yards and five touchdowns, and it's ridiculous. I mean, he's got six more touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's just an amazing
MVP talk.
Total MVP talk. And think about it. Drew Lock just carved up the Panthers, and now you got – now they're going up against Aaron Rodgers, the likely MVP.
Well, he was a good thing. He's only a little bit better than Drew Lock.
So yeah,
at least there's that.
And right now the Panthers are number 29 against fantasy wide receivers. So I mean, who's gonna guard Davante Adams? It's gonna be ugly. I really hope so, because I've got Davante Adams on one of my playoff teams, and boom. So I hope he keeps that streak going.
I'm pretty sure he will against Carolina's defense. I pretty much guarantee that he'll keep that streak going.
Yes. I mean, if you watch Aaron Rodgers, he sits there and he just kind of casually throws a ball like you're in the front yard with a Nerf ball, and he puts it right there. I mean, he's kind of guarded well, but the, you know, right where it has to be every time. I'm like, wow, he's just having fun right now.
Only guys that are in State Farm commercials can do that. That's the thing. Those are the rules.
Special discount.
Only guys in State Farm commercials can look like it's so effortless to be an NFL quarterback. That's just how it is.
State Farm, if you guys want to sponsor this podcast, please let us know.
Because, there you go.
Yeah, think about it. You know, they've got the two guys that are like, how cool is that? How much do they love it? So to have the two guys who are going to be the MVP guys fighting it out.
That's so good. That commercial is coming, I'm sure, too.
Yeah.
State Farm, like MVP, like who's going to get it? You know, it's like the shootout at the OK Corral kind of thing, you know, like unreal. who's going to win. That's awesome.
Ay, Dios mío, is that one crazy. But on the other side, Carolina, it's going to be Mike Davis. It's probably not going to be run CMC. So it looks like he's going to have another week where he's out. So I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Mike Davis. The Packers are number 18 against running backs in the last 4 weeks. On the other side of the ball, Teddy B. The Packers have some good D-backs. So it's going to be like, you know, especially Jair Alexander, who's one of the top five rated on Pro Football Focus. Who's he going to lock down? Is it going to be Anderson? Is it going to be DJ Moore, who's back from the COVID list? I just don't know. I think I think this could be a long game for Carolina. I think the only player I would really have confidence playing is Mike Davis on that one. Definitely not playing Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Robbie Anderson, hoping that they have to throw to play catch up. But then that's just a desperation play.
Yep. That's a coin toss, you know, and it's going to be, to your point. Yeah. They're going to be behind and they're going to be throwing to catch up. So one of these guys is going to score, whether it's Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, roll the dice. One of these guys is going to get a touchdown. You just don't know who, and that's what makes it difficult. And when you're setting your lineup, is like you have no idea. It could be any of these guys.
Well, take us to Hotlanta.
All right, let's go. We talked about this game a little bit. Tampa Bay 8-5 at Atlanta. The lowly Falcons at 4-9, who are playing for nothing except their pride. Tampa Bay's favored by 6, over under 50.5. So it should be still a shootout. Matt Ryan doesn't like to lose. You saw him the other day smashing his helmet against the ground. I think he threw a pick and he was pretty upset about it. So, I mean, he's a fighter, as are all NFL quarterbacks at this level. But, he's still got Calvin Ridley. So he's going to do some damage there. I know Calvin Ridley's going to just go off this game as his main target, because Matt Ryan can still get the ball out there. They're not going to win. I see Tampa Bay is still going to take him out and win this game with Mr. Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Gronk, who's had a nice little streak going. If you've been paying attention Gronk's had a nice little streak going these last couple of games. He's had a touchdown in I think three of the last four or something like that. He's had a really good, nice little stretch here of scores with his main man, Tom Brady there. So look for TB to take TB to the promised land and get a nice victory here. If I'm TB, I'm starting Brady. Ronald Jones looks like he's out. I think he's COVID. I think we talked about that. Fournette is going to be the man in the middle there. Mike Evans, you're firing him up. Godwin for sure. The receivers are Brown, Gronk for sure. On the Atlanta side, Matt Ryan, of course you're starting him. Todd Gurley, of course you're starting him, even though Tampa Bay's, you know, number 10 against RB fantasy points. Ridley, of course. Julio Jones, we already talked about him. He's out. More than likely. So that's how I call this game. But yeah, it should be fun to watch. Anytime you got Brady against Matt Ryan, anytime Vegas says your over under is anything over 50, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Now, would either of you guys have any kind of confidence playing Leonard Fournette if Ronald Jones is out? I don't know. He was inactive last game.
You don't need him. They don't need him. I don't think they're going to use him. I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs where, yeah, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but you don't really need him. You know, he's been the starting running back, you know, for the top offense in the NFL, but you're not seeing Clyde Edwards-Helaire's name anywhere, you know, as far as statistics or yards or touchdowns, because they don't need him. You know, they sling the ball around. This is the same thing. They have Evans and Godwin and Brown. Tom Brady just likes to throw the ball around. So he's going to do that. They don't need Fournette, and they're probably not going to use him from a, you know, he may get his run there just to keep, you know, the balance, you know, run, pass, et cetera. From a fantasy standpoint, I'm not starting Fournette. No way.
Go ahead, Nico.
I was going to say, and again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and last week a little bit, was the new style of having these wide receivers turn into running backs, you know. The sweep or come over or behind.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You see that more and more. And Antonio Brown loves to do that. So not throwing it to him, you know, let him run a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's very much a possibility with the jet sweep. I mean, on the Atlanta side, I don't trust Todd Gurley at all. I mean, he only had 19 yards last week, and the Tampa Bay defense, the run defense is still stout. The interesting part is they've really been getting gouged through the air. I mean, in the last 4 weeks, they're number 30 against quarterbacks and number 32 against wide receivers. So, I mean, to me, I'm firing up Calvin Ridley in this one. Oh, yeah. And I think this game has some shootout potential going on, the way, unless Tampa Bay really locks down on defense. And Atlanta's played better. They're middle of the road against the passing game the last few weeks, but I hope, I mean, this could be a fun game to watch if both teams are as forgiving on the defensive side.
Vegas says it's going to be high scoring. Believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nico, I'm going to ask for your help on this one because it's San Francisco 5-8 at Dallas 4-9. Well, we already talked about it. They're 49ers are 3-point favorite, 45.5-point over under. Do you think it gets to that number? Do you think both of the teams can score enough points to get there, to get the 45.5, or are you thinking under?
You know, I think it might be the under, but the thing about it is Nick Mullins, if he starts to hit his receivers, I mean, we talk about Kittle getting back, but Jordan Reed's he's a great tight end. And, you know, and again, we have Bourne, which they don't talk about. He'll catch it. There's probably, you know, a couple wide receivers and a running back that, you know, they don't really talk about. But, you know, I think this will be kind of shut down. And so it'll be lower, but I still think the Niners will have a little bit of a spurt to try to do it. And but again, it all depends on what Dallas does. But Dallas looks like they're tired. You know,
Dallas defense is just against the run. I mean, they're number 30 against the running backs. I think Jeff Wilson is a sneaky play this week because it's looking like Raheem Mostert is going to be out. So unless Jerick McKinnon resurrects himself, I think it's going to be Mullins throwing it to Brandon Ayuk and seeing Ayuk do whatever. And whenever he's not doing that, it's going to be Mullins. And I mean, it's going to be Wilson. And on the other side, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of preview. You know, as you guys know, I'm playing for kind of pride and a top four draft pick. I've got Zeke. I spent the number 2 pick, and as of right now, I am planning to sit him this week.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with sitting. I mean, 48 yards on 12 carries last week. That's not going to do it. So
yeah, I've got J.K. Dobbins.
And against, you know, the Niner defense. So yeah, forget it. Yeah.
That's the thing. Cause no on the, I've got three running backs that I'm going to play ahead of him. I've got I've got J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, and DeAndre Swift. I'm just going to play all of them.
Dobbins looked great last game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I mean, the top three picks for the season, I mean, we did the draft. I mean, they're gone. Or, you know, if you're going to sit him, they're just not being played. So.
It's just
Think about that. The top three running backs, you know, you got Barkley, you got Zeke, and you got CMC, top three. And none of those guys are, you know, are going to be in lineups.
They're not helping you out. So
Zeke will be in lineups, but yeah, to your point, Zeke will be in lineups, but Barkley's not in lineups and CMC's not in lineups, but even if Zeke's in lineups, he's probably not going to do much. So it's what a surprising turn of events.
Yeah, those teams aren't likely in the playoffs. That with right. Zeke on the
yes,
in the lineup.
Exactly.
You so know, if look, I went without Barkley, it's kind of like I'm going to the Indy 500 and they took my car away and I had a backup.
took one of your wheels off and you're still getting to the finish line.
You're limping in, exactly. That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the receivers, Amari Cooper, I don't know if I trust him this week. I don't know if I trust CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz, unless it's a desperation play, a Hail Mary. So you know,
don't they call it Hail Mary now?
It is a Hail Mary. Hector, take us to Tennessee, which
Tennessee. All right, so Detroit 5-8 at Tennessee 9-4, and man, I have a little bit of insight into this game because I was the victim of my playoff loss against cousin Jesse, who had Tannehill, Henry, and AJ Brown, and these guys are they just had a fantastic game, and even more so this week against the Detroit defense, they're ranked 26 against QB fantasy points, ranked 20 against RB fantasy points, and ranked 31 against wide receiver fantasy points. And I mean, Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown must be just like smoking cigars right now and just be like, oh man, can you wait? No, man, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait either. Like, Detroit's done. I mean, and to make matters worse, they're not even the top two guys on their team. There's Derrick Henry just kind of hanging out like, hey man, guys, can I have a cigar too? Like, oh my god, like this is gonna be if Vegas had a line, I think right now they haven't set the line yet because Stafford's injury, but if there was a line, I would have to guess, and you guys keep me honest, Tennessee favored by 10.5, nine and a half, maybe something like that. Does that sound about right?
I could see that is if it's Chase Daniel starting, I think that's the that's the line, and that's.
I mean, either way, I just don't see Tennessee not scoring. I just can't see them having a possession and not scoring, because I mean, Derrick Henry's just a beast. I mean, he did it last year in the playoffs. His last two games, he just went bananas. It's happening again. Tannehill and AJ Brown, they kind of blossomed last year. The last couple of games, I had them last year at the end of the season, and that's when they just kind of blew up. It's like they're doing it again. At the end of the season, they just kind of – they know that the playoffs are coming, and they just kind of like batten down the hatches and just like settle in and just like, okay, we're in playoff mode. And they're just – you know, it's crazy. I mean, it's on the Detroit side – DeAndre Swift went for a TD, but only 24 yards last game. Marvin Jones, 48 yards. TJ Hockenson, 43 yards. Like you said, if Stafford's going to play, he's probably not going to play. So Chase Daniel, three passes three for six, 29 yards. Just like, ugh, I don't, if he's starting, I'm not really doing much as far as Detroit's offense. I mean, I don't know what you guys think. To Tennessee, I just mentioned you're starting everybody on the Tennessee side, and look for an ugly one. This one, Tennessee blows them out, and you know, garbage time at the end.
Yeah, Corey Davis could be a sneaky DFS play. Nico, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's funny. I think it's kind of an unwritten rule. I think for like DraftKings, you know, you don't put three players from the same team on your lineup.
Except for last week, if you did that last week,
yeah,
you came out. You that was like the anomaly for sure. Like all three of these guys just went. But bananas.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jesse in our league, He has those three players.
Exactly. He beat me with those guys.
I know. So it's kind of like he should not go to the championship, but it looks like he is going to go.
But that could be seen as a genius move, because knowing that that's generally not the case, that you three guys, you start on the same team, score a lot. And he said he started them and they did that. So as rare as that is, I mean, I think Tennessee is that one team that can do that, because Tannehill to A.J. Brown, that's going to happen. Derrick Henry is going to happen. So, I mean, it just seems that this is like the perfect storm of all three of those guys putting up big numbers every week.
Yeah. But, so, just, you know, was it smart or is it a fart? You know,
and that rhymes.
Exactly.
And I've got the Tannehill A.J. Brown stack that's along with Devontae Adams. And I've got the DeAndre Swift. So I'm going to be watching this game very closely. On the Detroit side, I really think the only startable guys are DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson. Hawkinson, the tight end three, you've got to play him. Even if it's Chase Daniel, you got to play him.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to close up shop. We're going down to Indy, where
Houston
4-9 at Indy 9-4. You got the Colts at a 7.5-point favorite and a 51.5-point over under.
This is a game to watch. This is going to be fun to watch. Vegas says over 50.
It is going to be fun to watch. The one thing to keep an eye on is Deshaun Watson. You know, he did get dinged up on the elbow, so one of the nerves got a little bit kind of
injured.
Just kind of bruised.
We've got a problem.
So exactly. So we're going to see if he's. I mean, he should play. The one guy that is going to be really worth watching is T.Y. Hilton. I looked up the stats on him against the Texans in his career. He's played 17 career games. These are his numbers: 93 catches, 1,647 yards, and 11 touchdowns. I mean, that's just a little bit more than a season. That is just studly. He's got three games in a row where he's got a touchdown. Last game, he got two touchdowns on 86 yards on five receptions. I think he is a big time play this week. And you look at Jonathan Taylor. He's got 331 yards in his last three games, even though he missed one of the games with COVID. He missed a game there in COVID, so he came back just like there was no issue. And the Texans are just bad on defense, and especially against the run. They're 29 against fantasy running backs. Philip Rivers is even a play this week. So you look at that. And on the Houston side, assuming that Watson is fine, and you haven't heard that he's going to not play. So assuming that Watson is fine, a sneaky play is Kiki QT. He had eight receptions for 141 yards against the Colts 2 weeks ago. So there is a possibility there for him to break down again, break out against that Indy defense that has been good against the pass, but they're only number 20 against fantasy wide receivers, and they're 28 against the running backs. The last there was a big Derrick Henry game in there, so that kind of skewed things a little bit. Yep. So I don't think I'm expecting big things from David Johnson coming off the COVID IR, but we're gonna see. We're going to see. Anybody want to play Michael Pittman this week with Indy pitching it around?
He hasn't done too much. There's a lot of praise for him, but I haven't seen the big numbers, you know, that they talk about.
So. Yeah. I don't see. Would you be tempted to play Philip Rivers, Nico?
If you were doing a fantasy, you know, DraftKings, I think T.Y. Hilton's still cheap, and he's just, I don't know what he's doing now, but maybe he's running for the first time getting open, but Philip have kind of connected. And Hines is kind of mixed in for a couple passes out there. So I think they're mixing it up. These are the weeks where you just kind of throw everything into it, you know, go for it. Everyone wants to show off. It's contract time. It's contract season.
Yeah, the older guys. And T.Y. Hilton, I believe, is playing for his next contract. So we're gonna see if he's I think he becomes a free agent after this season. So we're going to see. We're going to see.
I'll have to watch Terry McGuire again so I can catch up on how it works.
Show me the money. Well, everybody. Eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks.
One last thing.
Yeah, dígame, primo.
For next. No, I was just saying, I think we, you know, for another time, but they're talk about, you know, do we give these players, let them cut in line to get the COVID, you know, vaccine? you know, and because we got Super Bowl and everything coming up. So I think that might be a nice little thing to talk about next time. Not today,
hey, but, exactly. First, yeah, get it to the first responders. And hey, you know what? Let's treat the NFL like first responders. Ojalá.
No, I'm just saying down the road. Again, that's a discussion.
Yeah, at some point. Right there, so we'll talk about it. We will. Okay. Yeah. As that's the tease for next week when Primo Nico comes up on his pre-Christmas edition of the Familia FFB podcast. So, well, gracias everybody for joining us. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community. Please make sure you're subscribing at all of the podcast platforms. And remember, follow us on Twitter. Jorge Martin 17 for me, Hector.
What the heck? Two T's.
And at Familia FFB for our main show handle. And don't forget FamiliaFFB.com. We got Adentro y Afuera coming out today, as well as like us on our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, gracias, everybody. Happy pre-Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah to our friends who are of Jewish religion. And, gracias, everybody. Remember, because todos somos familia.
Gracias. Salud.